Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Anybody come ready to praise God's name and lift him up? Amen, for he is a worthy God. Amen. He's always doing something for us, even when we don't deserve for him to do something for us. What a mighty God. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master, for we have now another chance to sit in your presence. And we pray, Master, that as we sit here, that we don't just be still, that we don't just be quiet, but we engage with your spirit. And for if we are engaged with your spirit, you can feed us something that we have yet to receive. For we believe and know that there's something in your storehouse that you have not given unto us yet. But when we get to a place where we are ready to receive it, we know you are poured into our spirits. So we come this morning, Master, asking that you allow us to get into a place where we have never been before, so you can feed us something that we never received, so we can be better, stronger for the kingdom of God. We ask now of these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Every heart say amen. 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 We now have our hymn 262.
Because the world to be praised man in his own image. and set before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from the maintenance of his sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declaring the prophets and apostles, in Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord. He has come to us to share our common life, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating a new in the Church of Jesus Christ, binding and covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us to his church, to himself that causes joy and discipleship, to be his servants and servants to men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the power of evil, to share in Christ's baptism to him and even his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence and trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessed.
Thank you.
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I don't know if y'all feel it out there, but they feel it up here. Amen. Amen. God is my everything. Amen. I think when we all come to the true understanding of that, amen, I think we'll move a little bit more. Amen. Because the way that we show our appreciation is in our celebration. Amen. Amen. Women, y'all understand that, because if the husband don't show you that he celebrates you, you won't be a little too happy with him. Amen. Amen. God wants to be celebrated. Amen. He wants to be worshiped. For truly he is worthy of all of that. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now. Master, humble, seeking your throne of grace and mercy. We come, Master, asking that you give us all that we need. And we're not asking for selfish things. We're asking for spiritual things. The power to be overcome, to overcome our circumstances and perhaps our situations. We're asking those hours that you give us everything that we need. Where we're lacking, give us what we need. Where there isn't, or shall I say, where there is no understanding, give us understanding. Where there's no compassion, give us compassion. Where there's no love, give us love. Master, whatever it is that we need in this world so that we can be more like you, we ask that you give it to us. And as the scripture said, Master, we pray now that we're able to put on the helmet of salvation. So as we so journey through this world that's so terrible, that's so evil, that's so trying, that we can keep our minds stayed on you. Give us what we need, Master, to be strong soldiers, to be what you called us to be, warriors on this spiritual battlefield. For the enemy surely is waiting on us all. But we know, Master, if we have you standing with us, we can go through every situation. Some of us are dealing with things that are very personal. Some things we're not willing to share with other people. We pray that you give us what we need in that place in our lives so that we can make it through. And when we come out on the other side, we pray, Master, that we come through as if we never went in. Because as we go through, we ask that you carry us and cover us and keep us. We ask, Master, of these blessings because we know that you will do them. For you showed us in your word that you can keep us in the midst of all trials, tribulations, and storms. So we come this morning believing that you will do these things. And we believe that you will do them in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Let us bow. Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to edify your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
To die.
song says, give me Jesus. All of us, from the youngest to the oldest, need Jesus. Not just when we are about to die, but for our eternal existence. While we are yet here, we need Jesus. We can't make it without him. And if you think you can, let me see you try. When the world is finished with you, he'll still be waiting on you. Because without him, we don't have the ability or the strength or the knowledge to make it through what's facing us. So we all ought to be saying, give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we better start teaching our children that too, because they're teaching them to ask for homes, money, and cars, and likes on Facebook versus teaching them to ask for Jesus. Amen. And for those of us who are of this brown skin, it's Jesus that helped us to make it through. Amen. 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 I'm about to get on my soapbox, but let me jump back off of it so I can preach this message. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I will begin reading at verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. And it reads, but the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And verse 29 reads, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his most holy word. If I was to pull a subject from this text, it would be, have you made the transition yet? Let me say that again. Have you made the transition yet? And my proposition to you is this: no transition, no growth. Amen. No transition, no power. Amen. No transition, no sonship. My brothers and sisters, it's important for us to understand one of the most dangerous part in a human's life, or shall I say in a Christian's life, is during the period of transitioning. Mm-hmm. Human growth cycle dictates that there are several stages in life that we must go through.
We must transition from a prenatal embryo to infancy, from infancy to a toddler, from a toddler to adolescence, and from adolescence to adulthood. And it's safe to say that the dangers of us not transitioning in all of those areas of our life was present at the time of transition. It was important for us to be able to get beyond that stage to get to the next stage. See, the transitional cycle is not only physical, but it's psychological, sociological, and spiritual. I think that last one is the one that troubles many of us, because we don't understand that there must be a continuous growth spiritually. Even Paul himself said that he had not yet attained what he needs to attain. We all need to continue to grow spiritually. We can't ever say, Reverend, we've made it. Because if you made it, then it's time for you to leave.
Amen. That's right.
I just want you to know, because if you made it, you have completed your mission, and God is pleased with all that you've done, and it's time for you to come home and be with him. But while we're still here, we ought to transition. Consistent transition is important. We should never stay in the same place spiritually. The Bible shares with us that even when the children was coming out of Egypt, God never allowed them to sit in one place too long. Every time they set up camp and got comfortable, the Bible said God would move again. So that the folks would know that they yet still had to keep moving. Just because they'd come out of slavery, it didn't mean that everything was over. They had to keep moving forward. Some of us are still stuck in a transition in our life that we've yet to come through. And God is trying to get us to move to the next level. But because you are comfortable where you are, God has not pushed you to the new level. But he expects for you to get to that next level. So my question to you is, have you transitioned? Some of us realize that we are stuck in a certain place and we're battling with ourselves to get to the next level. We're battling with ourselves to get to a new place spiritually. We're battling with ourselves to get to a new place mentally. God said he's giving you everything you need to make it to the next transition. The reason why you haven't made it yet is you. He needs for you to understand that you need to push forward, even when it's uncomfortable. Push forward. Move on beyond where you are. Let me ask you this question. Anybody in the house satisfied with where you are? I pray no one says yes. Because God wants all of us to move to the next level. To move from the place from which you are to the next better place. God intends for us to always be on the move. Now, it's important that we understand that we don't have control over our physical transition. But we can stunt or enhance the growth of our psychological, sociological, and spiritual transition. We must remember to be vigilant in recognizing that there will be an alert given by your natural senses. Because when you are transitioning, that means you're doing something that's different. And your senses say, oh, wait a minute, that means that where we are is not where we need to be. Which means that perhaps something ain't quite right. Something's not quite where it needs to be. Something needs to be better. And most of the time when we feel like that, instead of transitioning, we fight. And some of us don't fight, we flight. We'll just run, we'll just leave because I've been made to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I've been made to feel that there's no stability, because transition means that something needs to improve. It can mean that your identity has to change. It can mean that your routine needs to change. It means that sometimes your relationships need to change. And that's tough, because sometimes we can't let the relationship go. We have friends that have been with us all of our lives. And sometimes God wants us to move on from them, but we're so in love with them that we just keep holding on, not realizing that they are the ones who are holding us where we are.
Yeah.
I told one of my friends, I'm a preacher's sermon one day, be weary of the downward traveler. There's five stages of traveling downward. And sometimes we attach ourselves to people who are downward travelers. And we're so in love with those people, we don't want to let them go. But God never intended for us to be in their lives for a long time. Sometimes he intends for us to be there for a moment just to give them a nugget and move on. Sometimes our relationships are holding us in a place where we can't transition to where God wants us to be. We must understand that Satan is smart. He knows your assignment. And because he knows your assignment, he wants to derail you from getting to the next stage in your life. The Bible shares with us in John 10 and 10 that he comes to rob, steal, and do what? Destroy. The enemy don't want you to get to the next level. He wants to keep you from getting to the next level. So he's smart enough to put things in your way to make you stumble as you transition. He want to keep you from getting there. He want to keep you from making it to where God intends for you to go. Because when you get to where God intends for you to go, there's a reward waiting on you.
Amen.
There's a blessing waiting on you. There's a promise to be fulfilled waiting on you. But you must be able to transition. Let me share something with you. As you transition, be watchful of the bewitching.
Mm-hmm.
What you mean, Reverend? What's bewitching? Don't allow anyone to cast a spell on you. I hear you. Some of you are chuckling because some people believe that folks don't do that no more. Well, my answer to you is yes, they still do it. But what you have to understand, they don't have to do it in a ritualistic way anymore. Listen, people can manipulate you once they find out what your weaknesses are.
True.
You have to understand that the spirit, that Satan will assign an unclean spirit to you to find out what your weaknesses are. And through that person, that spirit will push your buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll watch you dance. And if you don't be careful, he'll have you dancing like a puppet on a string. Paul was trying to get these people in Galatians to understand the concept, because he asked them a question. He said, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who has manipulated you to go back to where you were? What you have to understand is when you're about to transition, there is a blessing waiting on you. It's a part of the transition. Before every blessing, there's a transition. If the blessing takes you to another level, you must transition to that level to receive that blessing. But what you must also understand, the higher the level, the bigger the devil. The more power, the stronger the devil.
Amen.
In other words, you must always be ready to be on your P's and on your Q's. Because the enemy is always ready. Here is God's people have learned how to actually live according to the Spirit of God. And because of perhaps relationships or whatever reason, they allow people to talk them into going back into their old way. Some of us do the same thing. All it takes is for somebody who's close to us to say something to us, and we change our minds. Somebody who's been around us long enough who know how to push our buttons to push a certain button to make you respond. And you go back to being who you were. But God wants you to go to the next level. In order for you to be mature, you got to keep growing. You got to keep growing spiritually so that when the devil attacks, you will be ready. Let me tell you something. That's the reason why I'm very careful about who I let speak things into my spirit. I'm also very careful about who I listen to. Because everybody who say they're your friend is not your friend. Everybody who say they want you to make it don't want you to make it. Everybody who on the sideline is not cheering for you. Amen. So when it comes time for your transitional period, some of them don't want you to get to the next level. And they can sense that you're about to get there, but they hold on to you. Entangle yourself with someone who's going the same way you're going. Right. Entangle yourself with someone who has the same goals that you have. Put yourself with someone who spiritually thinks like you. These people had received the true word of God on how to live according to faith and grace and not by legalism. What is legalism? Legalism is believing that the word alone will bring you salvation. The word alone would not bring you salvation. The Bible tells us faith without works is what? And without faith is impossible to do what? You can't make it to heaven by knowing the word alone. There must be a change somewhere from knowledge to application. Yeah. Just coming to get knowledge of the word is not going to help you to make it to heaven. But if you come looking for the love that's in the word that you can live out in your life, then God says yes, because that only comes by way of faith and grace. Have you transitioned yet? And listen, I'm not trying to beat you up. I want you to understand. I always want you to grow spiritually. That's one of the things that God has been working with me these last couple of weeks. I don't know where he's taking me, but he wants me to get to the next level spiritually. What that means, I don't know. But what I want you to know is, I want nothing to stop me from getting there. Amen. When God puts something in your life for you to transition to, don't let people stop you. Don't let relationships stop you. Don't let your alarm stop you because you're not comfortable, because you don't understand what it means. Don't let it stop you because you can't see what God is talking about. Children of God, I want you to understand, when you are in that phase, you can't do anything but walk by faith. It is by faith that you can access all the promises that God has for you. It's by faith you will receive your spiritual emancipation, your spiritual freedom. That's why he chose to say that there is no Jew or Greek. There's no bond nor free. When you operate according to faith, everything is at your fingertips. Let me restate that, because I slurred that word. I don't know why. Everything is at your fingertips when you walk in faith. Paul was trying to help these people in Galatians understand that it's not people. It's not the law that we should be concerned with. We should be concerned with being like Jesus. But all through history, we find that every time the people of God was transitioning to the next level, there was someone there to try to cause them to stumble. In the wilderness, when the people were about to go into the promised land, somebody said, you know what? We need to make us a golden calf. We need to have a God that we can carry before us. Not realizing they had a God who could carry them. When they was in the wilderness about to go into their promised land, someone stood up and devised a plan to keep them from making it to their promised land. And it took them 40 years to transition. Some of us are still transitioning because we are too busy listening to people versus listening to God. Too busy following people versus following God. Let me share something with you. I don't care what no one's position is. If their position is what I'm following, I'm in trouble. If I can't see God in them, I don't care what position they are. I don't care what they can offer me. God will give it to me another way. Too many of us are following folks because of their titles. Not realizing their title is going to lead you somewhere you ought not to be. Or their title is going to keep you from being able to get what God intends for you to receive. Or their title is going to delay you receiving the blessing that God has for you because simply you're following them because they have more power than you or they have a higher status in this world than you. God don't care about none of that. This means nothing. When are you going to transition? Have you transitioned? The Bible says that when you find faith and grace, when you realize that you are justified and glorified, when you realize that the reward is yours simply if you give your life to Christ, he says that you understand who you are and you receive sonship. Once you receive sonship, the Bible helps us to understand that God will establish our routine. God will establish our relationships. He'll establish our identity. He will make us what he intends for us to be. All the things that we are concerned about that we're not certain of, you don't have to worry about that anymore because you'll realize that everything is in God's hands. And if I just trust him, he'll make everything better. If I be with him, he'll show me the way. If I allow him to guide me, he'll guide me to a place that I never thought I could be in life. If you give yourself to him and not be so concerned about worldly things, your transition will be powerful. I need you to understand that God wants you to be a child of his. And if you are a child of his, there's promises that come along with being his child. He says he'll give you power that's unmeasurable. Philippians says it like this, that in all things, I can do all things through Christ. Isaiah 40 and 29 says, to give power, he will give power to the weary and to the weak. Romans 8 says he promises to stand with you when the whole world stands against you. And then as our old folk will say, he'll be our burden bearer. He'll be our heavy load sharer. He'll be our rolls of sharer. He'll be our wheel in the middle of a wheel. He'll be our straight road in crooked places. Somebody ought to give God some praise. When you are a son of his, when you receive sonship, there's nothing that God won't do for you. There's nothing that God won't give you. God will always be with you if you allow him to be your father. So when the Bible says that we will no longer be under a schoolmaster, it means you are freed from the consequences of trying to out, I mean, to live out the laws. Because the Bible says if you offend one of them, you've offended them all. He's freed you from that. And he freed you from that by way of grace. It's the grace of God that gives us eternal life. It's the grace of God that gives us promise beyond this world. It's the grace of God that makes us who we are. Give God a hand, clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there be one, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found. Doors of my Father's house are open. Now that the officer come for the purpose of communion, as those officers are coming, I would like to ask that you do a self-check to make sure that you don't eat nor drink damnation unto your soul, that you can eat from this table and drink from this table worthily. As I pray aloud, I ask you pray silently that if there's anything in you that's not pleasing in the sight of God, ask him to remove it now so you don't drink nor eat damnation unto your soul. Let us bow. Father God, we come now humble before your throne, asking you to search us. Master, if there's anything in us that does not meet your standards, if there's anything in us that does not look like you, we ask that you remove it now. And Master, we know that you are a right now God, which means it doesn't take you a long time to do anything. We know you can do things instantly. So Master, if we're not pleasing to you and we are humble before you now, with our hearts open and our minds set on you, asking that if there's something, remove it right now. We want you to put us in a place where we're worthy before your sight so that we can stay in your presence. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let all hearts say amen. Amen.
Father, we come, Master, to say thank you for your presence with us here today. And as we prepare to leave this place, we pray that your spirit will go with us, that it keep us, comfort us, protect us, and provide for us until we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Now let all God's children sing.